May it please God to bless us together tonight as we consider his word. Let us turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 12, and we'll read the first verse. The book of Psalms, Psalm 12, and reading the first verse. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. This was the prayer of David. And as we know, David lived many years ago, and the situation when he was on the earth was like this. He was praying the Lord would grant help, and he cites the situation. The godly man ceaseth and the faithful fail from among the children of men. Well, it was true in his age, and I'm sure it's very true in the day and age in which we live. And surely, as the word was so appropriate in the day in which David lived, so it is so appropriate in the day and age in which we live. How we need help from the Lord. Help in our individual lives. Help in our lives as a church and people. Help in our lives as a nation. Help, Lord, was the cry of the psalmist. And I'm sure that such a prayer, so short and yet so specific, has a wonderful reference to every child of God very often in their lives. It's not something that we can do without. We cannot do without the help of our God. And it's a wonderful favour and blessing to know when such a prayer is uttered and the Lord condescends to hear and send help and grant help, so that we know it is the help from the Lord. And we're able to say, yes, my help cometh from the Lord. Well, what a blessing then when we can testify to the glory of God that he has been mindful of us, he has heard our prayers, and he has helped us. And so remember then, all of us tonight need this prayer, and we'll find this prayer so necessary, I believe, probably every day, if we're honest. Every day, you know, we have reason, don't we, to pray that God will help us. It's a good prayer, isn't it, as we commence the day, to pray that God will help us through the day. Let us not depend on our own strength. Let us look to the Lord, the Almighty God, who is all-powerful and has all strength. And to rest, therefore, in the Lord in this way. Come to him. Help, Lord. Sometimes it's perhaps more specific than others. We come into a situation in our daily life which we might not know what to do or what to say. And the prayer then is, help, Lord. But I hope we are able to remember to pray to our God. Sometimes, you know, we struggle on ourselves. And then the Lord has to graciously remind us that we've forgotten to pray. And then we need to come and say, help, Lord, help me. Well, David, in this particular situation, he asked for help. And the reason is that it appeared he was in a pretty destitute kind of condition in the community in which he was living. And he tells us, the godly man ceaseth and the faithful fail from among the children of men. And I suppose if we look around our country today, it is a very sad state. And surely it's very true that the godly man ceaseth and the faithful fail from among the children of men. There are really relatively very few who are godly men. Very few who are faithful in the day and age in which we live. And so there is a ceasing, and there is therefore a failing. And we see it really increasing, don't we? We really see a scene of destitution. Well, do we then cry out, "Help, Lord"? It's only the Lord that can bring prosperity. It's only the Lord that can bring again a time of blessing. It's only the Lord that can bring again a time of spiritual revival. But my friends, we have a God who is able to do great and wonderful things. And therefore, as we may be perhaps downcast, we may be sorrowful for the scenes which we see around us, which is just like David describes here, godly men ceasing and faithful men failing, to remember we have a God who is still reigning, and a God who ever will reign, a God who will never cease. And may we therefore have our confidence in our God. You see, the tendency is for us today to look around, and by doing that, we look down and we see the dismal situation, whereas we are encouraged to look up, to realize we have a great God who can do wonderful things. And so let us come today in faith, praying like this, "Help, Lord," as we may feel like the psalmist in measure, as we consider the current situation. And here we are, we're praying, "Help, Lord." David prayed, and we can believe David prayed in faith, nothing wavering. And may we come and pray in faith, nothing wavering, to our gracious God. You see, we have a God, a great God. Sometimes we forget we have a great God, or at least we appear to forget we have a great God by our actions, by our lives. We seem to carry on and appearing to just accept the current situation and be satisfied with the current situation, instead of crying out to our God that he will help us and he will encourage us and he will strengthen us. The word of God tells us so clearly, "I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them." And my friends, we are to inquire of the Lord. We are to seek unto him. We are to pray for his help, that he will indeed be merciful to us and be gracious to us. And so David knew what it was. There are many, many psalms. We won't go through them tonight, but there are many psalms which speak of the need for help. And I'm sure if we are amongst the household of faith, we would understand what the psalmist meant when he cried for help. And that we might cry tonight and in our lives day by day for help. And it is important that we cry to help to the one and only person that can provide that help, and that is the Lord. And so to come to the Lord in faith, believing that he is able and that he is willing to do for us far more exceeding abundantly than you and I can ask or even think. And to remember, when we pray like this for help, we come to the Lord God. We don't come to a little God. We come to a great God. We come to that God who created all things, that God who made us, that God who made the world, that God who keeps the world in its orbit today. We know that if the Lord changed the solar system in a moment, everything would just disappear and be in chaos. And so we can be thankful the Lord keeps things as they are. And so we come to that great God. "Help, Lord." Now then, the psalmist elaborates a bit on this, the need for this help. He speaks about the people. He says, "They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak." Is that not evident in the day and age in which we live? Do we not observe people speaking in vanity? Yes, and speaking vanity with their neighbor, with flattering lips. How much there is today of flattery, isn't there? People try to flatter each other, to make each other think more highly of each other. Flattery. There's no room really for flattery in the church of God. There is room for speaking kindly and lovingly and encouragingly and honestly, but there's no room for flattery. And so here David expands and exposes the situation which existed at this time. And my friends, no doubt it's always existed, but it seems perhaps today that it exists more. We see a great departure from the faith, and we see people speak in vanity. Emptiness, isn't it? What is vanity? Vanity is really empty things of this world. Just the things of this world. That is really vanity. And what do we see today? We see everybody speaking vanity. They're not speaking, are they, of the things of God? They're not speaking about the greatness of God. What do they speak? They speak against God. They mock God. And they speak vanity. And he goes on with flattering lips and with a double heart. Do they speak a double heart? A deceitful heart. You see, a heart which speaks one thing to one person and another thing to another person. It's a double heart. And surely that's the situation which exists today in the world in which we live. A double heart. Do they speak? It's a sad time, isn't it, in the history of the world, and how clear it is that we must, of necessity, be hastening towards the end of all things. But then we read, and we must recognize the Lord is in control. And David says, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. The Lord can cut them off. You and I can't. We can't stop people saying things, but the Lord in a moment can produce this effect, that flattering lips are cut off and the tongue that speaketh proud things. And he tells us then what that means. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? How many people there are today, indeed the vast majority of mankind, says, well, I can live my own life as I want to. It's my life, and I'm going to live my life as I want to. No one's going to dictate to me how I live my life. I will speak as I want to speak. And so we see this situation here, as David says, with our tongue will we prevail. People think that they have ability to prevail with the words they are able to speak. They rest in their own ability. They have no confidence in anyone else. They rely on themselves, on their own skills, on their own words that they're able to speak. And so with our own tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Yes, every word that they want to speak, they think are of their own, and they're able to say just what they want to. And then they say, who is Lord over us? They don't believe in the Almighty God. They don't believe there is a God. For the most part, the attitude is atheistic, whether they might give lip service perhaps to a Christian belief. In reality, their actions are atheistic. And so many people are just like this. Who is Lord over us? I am in charge of my own destiny. I'm going to decide what I'm going to do in life, and I'm going to walk in this path. Is it not obvious today that that's the position that we observe all around us? Well, what does it mean? Does it not cause us to cry out like David did? Help, Lord. Oh, help us, Lord, in this evil age in which we live, to stand firm for the things of God, to not be misdirected by evil influences, and to listen to wrong advice, to be taken in by the vanity of men who might flatter us. You see, we're very We're very fleshly, and we're suspect to being taken in by flattering lips. We need to pray continually for God's grace to help us not to fall under the snare of Satan. Satan is a great flatterer. My friends, let us not fall under those situations. Let us realize the truth of God. We are what we are by the grace of God and nothing else. Help, Lord. Oh, then, help us, Lord, to live in this evil world in which we live. And so, David then runs on and he then speaks for the oppression of the poor. Well, David was a poor man, wasn't he? We read, don't we? He tells us, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. You and I tonight, a companion of David. Do we esteem ourselves as a poor man? Yes, a poor man. And yet one who looks to the Lord. This poor man cried, as David tells us. And the Lord didn't turn a deaf ear to him. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his distresses. And so we can believe today, if we come like this and pray, help, Lord. Yes, as it comes from our heart, and sometimes it really does. It's a real prayer. It's not just a weasel word, we might say. It's a real prayer. Help, Lord. And my friends, when that comes from our heart, we can believe we'll be like David was and be able to testify the Lord did hear us and did deliver us for the oppression of the poor. We might feel then to be oppressed. Oppressed by situations which develop in our lives. And we can perhaps sometimes feel the devil, as it were, shaking us, oppressing us, and telling us, well, of course you deserve this. Of course you brought this on yourself, and we'll have to confess, well, we're guilty. And we therefore be oppressed because of our situation. And what would it bring us to? Will we just sink under it and believe the child of God looks up and they cry, help, Lord, like David did here, for the oppression of the poor? Yes, we won't find ourselves thinking any high position. We'll realize that we are poor. We may feel to be oppressed. Well, the Lord comes to such for the oppression of the poor. And then for the sighing of the needy. Now, do you know what it is to sigh before God? To sigh because of your sins. To sigh because of the evil of your heart. The wrong thoughts. The corruption of your nature. Sigh before God. Well, here David comes and tells us, for the sighing of the needy. The sighing of the needy. We don't really sigh unless we're needy. And we're only really needy when the Lord directs us to realize our need. And that need is when we have offended Almighty God. Then our need is great, is it not? And we come like that and we sigh to our God for the sighing of the needy. I'm sure the true child of God knows what it is to sigh before God, perhaps very often. To sigh before God. Perhaps every day, perhaps many times in a day, we sigh before our God because of our carnality. Because of the evil of our old nature. Because of our besetting sins, which we don't want to glory in. But we sigh because of them. And so we read this, for the sighing of the needy. And then we read, now will I arise, saith the Lord. Help, Lord. the Lord will arise on our behalf. The Lord brings us down, and also the Lord raises us up. We cannot raise ourselves up. And you see, by nature, we don't like being down. But the Spirit of God sometimes brings us down to reveal to us something of the poverty of our old nature, and then to, as it were, lift us up, take us by a hand, and raise us up. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Well, has the devil been puffing at you and me? I'm sure he has. Yes, he's been perhaps puffing at us, trying to divert us from the narrow way, trying to direct us into the broad way, which, as we should realize, leads to destruction. And he puffs at us in order to turn us out of that narrow way. And of course, the broad way to our fallen nature is attractive. It appears that it's an easier path. It seems a smoother path. There's not so many obstacles to overcome. It's not so rugged. And perhaps we're weary because of the oppression, because of the difficulty which we're facing. And so here we have this statement, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. And where is this safety? My friends, this place of safety is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other place of safety. There is only safety in Christ. And so how wonderful it will be if we find the Lord then setting us, as it were, in himself, to abide in him, to walk with him. And that's a place of safety. What a different situation it is. And as we cried to the Lord, perhaps in real desperation, help, Lord. We weren't able to formulate any fancy long prayer. Very from the heart, though. Help, Lord. And such a prayer doesn't come from the head, you know. The reality of true prayer comes from the heart. In the time of need, and we cry out, help, Lord. And then to see the Lord, then directing us to himself. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. We may have been tempted to give up and call no more on Jesus' name. We may not have seemed to have been making much progress. But you see, the Lord brings us to a position where we have to forsake all our own strength, all our own ability, and come casting all our care upon him. And then we read, and then we realize, and then we are blessed with the favor of Almighty God remembering us in our lowest state, for his mercy endureth forever. Where have we come? Do you know, you've been in that position when the Lord has looked down and he's remembered you. Perhaps it was surprising. You may have cried. You may have pleaded. You may have sought for direction, sought for encouragement. Appear to be no entrance. Silence. And then, perhaps when you least expected it, the Lord appeared. The Lord spoke. The Lord encouraged. The Lord directed you. And what did you realize? It was the Lord. It was the Lord that heard your cry. That cry for help. And in the Lord's time, he brought about a deliverance. He brought about blessing. He brought about favor. And what was it? You were set in safety. You see, when we're in Christ, the devil can't get at us. There's safety there. There's not safety anywhere else. But in Christ there is perfect safety. And then the psalmist goes on to tell us, the words of the Lord are pure words. Yes, he's cried out help. The Lord comes in and speaks such suitable words. Words that are needful, but words that come and meet our case. And we acknowledge and we bless God that his words to us are pure words. It may not always be physical words, but it may be the situation which has developed as the Lord comes and speaks to us in this way. And we realize they are pure words to our soul. Perhaps pure words to our situation, which we've found ourselves in. Yes, and it's been a blessed time of deliverance. And we acknowledge the goodness of the Lord in remembering us in our low estate. We cried, we prayed in God's time, in God's way. He heard, he answered. And we bless God that we came in prayer to that God of all grace. The words of the Lord are pure words. And really, the pure words of God are very pure. And they're very precious. The psalmist says here, as silver tried in a furnace of earth purified 7 times, it was pure silver, there was nothing mixed with it. What did it mean? It was precious. Has the word of the Lord been precious to your soul and my soul? And we found ourselves crying to God, help, Lord. And he's come to us. And he's spoken words of compassion, words of love. Yes, words of blessing. And they've been precious to us. We thank God for them. And we've been able to gain the strength of them. Yes, you know, when the Lord speaks, it is a word of strength. It's a word of support. And it's a word that you and I will need. The Lord doesn't appear when there is no need. The Lord doesn't speak when there is no requirement for it. He doesn't, as it were, waste words. When the Lord speaks, they are then precious. You see, if we had words whenever we kind of thought we needed them in a very casual way, they wouldn't be very precious, would they? They wouldn't be as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. And I believe when the Lord comes and speaks to us in reality and truth, it is a word which is tested and it's tried in our soul's experience. And as that word is tried, it's purified. Yes, and it loses perhaps a condition, a situation that we may have put upon it. Sometimes the Lord might speak a word and we put our own interpretation on it. And then the Lord comes and he tries that word. It's his word, but he tries it. And it goes in a furnace and it's purified. And then we observe that our interpretation wasn't correct. Our interpretation wasn't good. And as that word is tested and tried, we then recognize that yes, the Lord has spoken a pure word. And we perhaps were corrupting that word because we might have brought that word to suit our situation, to apply that word to a situation which we thought we needed to be directed in a certain way. My friends, the Lord has a perfect way. And the Lord has a pure word. And that pure word we bless God for, but it may be, as David tells us here, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. It's not just a little purification, is it? Seven times in a furnace of earth, yet heated very hot, so that it might take away all that which was not pure. Not once, not twice, seven times. I believe that may teach us that we may have a wrong interpretation a number of times, and that word, which is a pure word, the Lord purifies in our experience, so that then we come and recognize then there's nothing left of self. It's all been taken away. And what is left? I believe what is left is Christ crucified. You see, the purpose of God's words is to direct us to the Saviour. And it may be sometimes that we distort things. And we find then that we're not really thanking and praising our God. The words of the Lord are pure words. We've cried, "Help, Lord. The Lord has come. The Lord has brought his word to us." It is a pure word, but it's tested and it's tried in the furnace seven times. And then David comes and he tells us, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." It may be that we're fearful of making shipwreck of our faith. We may be that we see the evil of our heart, the wickedness therein, and it may be that we are brought to a situation where we come and we say, "Can ever God dwell here in such a heart as mine?" And then to be encouraged by the word of God, as we've had to cry, "Help, Lord, in my situation, the Lord has come, and the Lord has said, we shall be kept." Kept, as Peter was, by the power of God. And how good it is to come into these times of testing and to know that our God can keep us, and our God does keep us. Sometimes against our will, God keeps us because of his great grace toward us, because of his great love toward us, of his great mercy. And we know then, this word is true, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." We shall be preserved. His people will never fail. They failed in themselves, but the God of all grace is with them to hold them up. "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." That's a cause, isn't it, for crying for help. The Lord will direct us in this way. Yes, because we may fear that our footsteps may slip. We may fear the weakness of our flesh. Well, here is a promise. "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." The Lord will keep the feet of his saints. We will not fail. We will not make shipwreck. We sure will at last be brought home to eternal glory. And so the prayer will have been heard. "Help, Lord." My friends, it's a prayer that we can utter any time, isn't it? However poor, however needy we may feel, it's a prayer that we can offer at any time. You know, the prophet Micah he tells us, and he said, woe is me, woe is me. Is that been our situation? Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits as the grape gleanings in a vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischief desire. So they wrap it up. Yes, my friends, the day and age in which we live is just like that, isn't it? And yet you see, the prophet tells us, the best of them is as a briar, the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman is thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. And so he says, trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide, keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoureth a father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Well, faced with that situation, and it might be very similar that we might feel in our own heart, have to cry, help, Lord. What does the prophet say? Therefore, would I look unto the Lord? I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. A gracious confidence in our God. And my friends, we can have that gracious confidence today, in a day and age in which we live, and be thankful to know that we worship the same God yesterday and forever. You know, we read that 57th Psalm because of how our prophet again commenced that to describe the situation which existed in his day and in our day. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Well, what a situation that was, and what a situation it is today. But bless God, we have a God who has said, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever, in the midst of this generation, an evil and corrupt generation, to be kept by the power of God and to be found in every time of need, pleading very simply, but yet from the bottom of our heart, like David did when he came and said, help, Lord. Amen.